Hey y'all, welcome to Up the Coast with Alex and Britt. It feels like it's been a little bit of a hiatus because we haven't been on it in 2 weeks, and we are officially headed into postseason softball. We are coming up on regionals weekend, so week one of postseason. But Brittany and I got to spend the week together last week out there in Durham, North Carolina. Right in Britt's neck of the woods and where she grew up right down the road. So really fun week out there at the ACC Championship Tournament. It was hosted by the number one seed going into the tournament, Duke. And Britt, we saw a lot of great games last week at the ACC Championship.
Oh, let me tell you what. The road that Duke had to take to win that championship, let me tell you, that first game against BC, 10 innings, Jayla Wright and Abby Dunning going right at it. It was incredible. And if you don't know the name Abby Dunning from Boston College, you'll know it by next year, right? Like, she was just incredible. She threw so hard, screwball. She had her changeup working. We've been impressed with her all year, but then for her to show out like that in their first ACC tournament in years, I mean, it was awesome to see. And then Duke went on and had another 10-inning game, and that was incredible against Clemson. And who is it? Burgess coming around third base, the ball didn't leave the infield, starting at first base, just running. I mean, just incredible softball. Mackenzie Clark from Clemson robbing a walk-off home run, and then Duke going on to win it against Florida State. I tell you what, looking at the weather at the SEC and what they had to go through with their tournament, we were blessed with just great weather and amazing softball.
It was a beautiful week. It was my first time at Duke on campus, and so I thought it was great. I thought their facilities were amazing, and everything was just so pretty. But yeah, Britt, so much good softball and a lot of uncharacteristic things going into that championship game. So headed into championship Saturday, the championship game was between Duke and Florida State, the number one and two teams that were seeded in the tournament respectively. And leading up to that game, we had seen four upset games occur, meaning the higher seed actually beat the lower seed. And when I say lower seed, I'm saying that in a good way. Like, you had, you know, your 8 seed beating your 6 seed, and just a lot of great softball and really good stuff. So really impressive outings from teams like Georgia Tech, Boston College, like you mentioned, was just really close. Clemson looked really good against Virginia that first day, very uncharacteristic for what we had seen from Clemson the last couple of weeks. So they're headed in to postseason here, just looking really good, feeling loose, and playing some of their best softball that I think they've seen all season long. But Duke was so impressive, and it's no surprise why they were the number one seed going into that tournament. They really play well on both sides of the field and walked away with the win from Florida State. And it was a hard-fought battle at first. You know, Florida State came out early and swinging really aggressive, but then Duke just kept their foot on the gas the whole time and just chipped away at the lead and ultimately came back to win. So really good stuff from the Blue Devils, but like you mentioned, it was a hard-fought battle to get there. 2 10-inning games leading up to the championship game. So that one, I think, felt good for them. But let's talk about Duke a little bit.
Oh, before we get into Duke.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I just want to talk about two of my favorite moments from the ACC tournament, and then I want to get your favorite moment.
Away. Okay.
When we got interviewing the players and coaches post-game and pre-game, awesome. Definitely one of my favorites. But Jayla Wright and Michaela Edenfield talking about their relationships with Marissa Young and Coach Kocha. Edenfield had tears in her eyes talking about how much she loved her and respect her. And then Jayla was, I mean, just couldn't say enough things about the relationship and all the battles that they fought together. And, you know, it was those moments that make you realize, like, you know, there's just something so special about that, and I'll take that away from that tournament. Besides all the great softball, it's just how emotional and how connected these players are with their coaches.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that that's where, as an athlete, having been in the game and still obviously looking back on it now, just so grateful and appreciative of all of our experiences, it really is about the people that you're surrounded by, because you can win championships, you can have those big games and all the success on the field, but as a female in softball right now, you're not walking away making millions of dollars. You know, it is so much about the relationships and the experience that you have and everything that you take away from that. So yeah, those moments are really special. It was fun to hear their stories and experiences.
Yeah, and just the emotion they had. All right, sorry.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get that out there.
No, it's
Duke,
good. I love
Duke,
it. Alex. Let's talk Duke.
How are you feeling about selection show night?
Pissed? Is that an okay word to put it lightly?
It was bullshit.
Pissed.
Is what I want to say.
Yeah. I just feel like, to me, the rankings, I get it, right? Like, you can talk out of conference, strength of schedule, in conference, strength of schedule. The ACC didn't have it as solid and strong as a year this year, with Florida State, you know, being seemingly a little bit lower in rankings, and Clemson not playing like we maybe thought they were going to. But I guess at what point does just what you do output-wise on the field matter, no matter the opponent? Now, I'm not saying you can go play a bunch of, you know, slugs out there and be ranked number one because you're 50-0. Like, that doesn't happen. But what I'm saying is, I think Duke had a tough enough schedule and played great enough softball and had the wins, had the outcomes, put up numbers that spoke for themselves, because numbers don't lie.
Yeah, and for the selection committee guy to come on during the after the selection show and say it was about their top 25 opponents, they didn't play enough top 25 opponents, so their strength of schedule wasn't good enough for them. I'm sorry, but number four in RPI, the components of RPI take in the strength of schedule. Mm-hmm. They take in to your opponent's strength of schedule. So that's in there. And then you look at their top 25 RPI opponents, Duke went 11-2. So they played top 25 opponents, and they beat them. And then Missouri, great team, absolutely great team. They went 13-13, I believe, against top 25 RPI opponents. So they played 26 games against them. Duke played 13, but Duke won 11 and lost 2. So you're telling me you're putting more value in just playing and doesn't matter if you win or lose? I don't know. Duke, ACC regular season champions.
Sorry.
Hey, puppy. Tournament champions. Number four in RPI. It's just like last year, RPI was everything, but the goalpost moves every year. And when you're scheduling as a coach, how do you know who's going to be a strong out-of-conference opponent? And then you go to tournaments, you don't make the schedule. You don't get to pick who you play. You know, it's just the goalpost moves. I don't think Duke could have done anything more than they did this year. They were deserving of a top-8 finish, and they're going to prove it by ending their season in Oklahoma City. All right.
I hope so. No, I really hope so. And like you just said, just so many great points about what they've done on the field, the strength of schedule, the wins-loss column, and just taking into account so much more. And to me, I'm just not in the business of wasting people's time. And it's like, why the hell are we doing rankings if they don't matter? Like, I get it. I don't need anybody in my inbox telling me, well, they're not taken into consideration for the seeding. It's like, I get it, but why not? And I think it's asinine and just completely ass backwards. And I was just on my phone pulling up Duke's Instagram because I saw this yesterday too, of course. Like, another rankings came out.
Yeah.
And they're ranked 3, 5, 5, 7, and 7. And I'm just like, weird. All these rankings still, and we're in number 10 seed. It just, make it make sense. Like,
the people that do the rankings are people that are watching softball all year long, that have watched it. The selection committee is filled with, like, administrators, and people probably watched the last few weeks of softball, if that. Like, Duke, you watch them, you know how good they are in the circle, offense and defense. But their road's just a little bit harder, but I think they can do it. I don't think it's fair, but there's nothing they can do about it. But I think can't remember who said it, but we've seen a good Duke all year, but we haven't seen an angry Duke, and that's
I was just thinking the same. And that quote, I saw it on Twitter from somebody. It's somebody in the softball world that we would hear right off the tip of our tongue and be like, oh my gosh, that's exactly who it was. But so spot on. An angry Duke is going to be a force to be reckoned with. I hope. So it's going to be good. But let's talk about that Durham regional and who's going to be there. I think it's one of the hardest regionals as well. So not only do I feel like they got snubbed by not getting a top 8 seed, I thought that was just like a shoo-in, I guess. So don't mind me. But here we are in the Durham regional with Duke, is South Carolina, Utah, and Morgan State.
Yeah, that's really hard. Utah and South Carolina. Utah being a 3 seed, they were in the World Series last year. They're finishing up strong. They just played in the Pac-12 championship. They lost to UCLA 2-1. They beat Stanford to get there. I mean, they're good for, they beat Oregon, I mean, they beat Washington. They're playing really good softball. And for them to be a three seed in anybody's regional is a little ridiculous. And then South Carolina, they have Alana Vauder in the circle, transfer from Stanford, who was in the World Series last year. I mean, that's a loaded regional.
I couldn't agree more. So I'm glad you touched on Vauder because, yes, she was crushing it back when I called her games against UCF in the beginning of the season and has sustained that kind of success throughout the season. So she's feeling really good in the circle. And then, like you just said, this is a Utah team that just played in the PAC championship. Come on. Like, come on.
Right.
It just,
lost
again,
one on a home run late in the game.
Make it make sense. And that one just doesn't. So while I'm really confident in Duke, I feel like they got screwed. I feel like they got screwed out of a top eight seed. I feel like they got a really tough regional. I also don't think it should, could, would be a walk in the park for anybody to continue to advance throughout the season, but I just feel like they deserved better.
I agree. But
so,
an angry Duke, right?
An angry Duke is a scary Duke. So let's go now to the other ACC team hosting is Florida State. So they came in as the 15th seed, and they are going to host in Tallahassee, UCF, Auburn, and Chattanooga. Auburn is going to be that number two seed, UCF coming in the three spot, and then Chattanooga in the four seed in Tallahassee.
Yeah, Auburn, you know, they're a pretty solid two seed. They've got good pitching with Penta and Lowe in the circle, veterans there. They had a pretty good run towards the end of the season. They took the series from Alabama. I think Florida State, you know, with McKenna Reed being day-to-day, they're missing a big piece there in the circle.
Agreed.
To me, it's going to come down to if their arms can keep up throughout the weekend.
Agree. I definitely think Florida State's the better team, the best team in that regional, obviously with the ranking. But you have UCF and Auburn who both play in really hard conferences. UCF having just joined the Big 12 this year. So they are just like prepped and primed with a lot of hard opponents the last several months. And then Auburn, again, SEC. So you know that they're continually playing great teams. And so it's going to be another dogfight, I feel like, for Florida State. UCF, again, making that adjustment to Big 12, I don't feel like their win-loss column has really reflected how well they're playing, and then they're led in the circle by a lot of experience overall. But Sarah Willis, man, she's the transfer that came in a couple years ago for the Knights, and she came over from Washington, and she has just been lights out. The way she plays, the confidence, and just kind of the swagginess that she has in the circle. I mean, she's an absolute spark plug for the UCF team. And if I was somebody that was her teammate, I would love playing behind her because she's just that kind of fiery player. So she, I feel like, is the biggest threat in that regional. And then, like you mentioned, with Auburn, you have Maddie Penta. She's having a great year. But Auburn has historically been known for their offense. And their hitting is down this year. You look at some of those offensive numbers. Back when I played all those years ago, they were hitting over 300, nearly 320, 350 as a team in some seasons. And their offense, not even over 250 right now as a squad. I think their highest hitter is hitting just over 300. And so you look at some of those numbers and you're like, okay, it's going to be a grind in the circle, I feel like, because the hitters are going to have to hit. But it's a lot of pressure when you're trying to have all of that responsibility fall on the offense. So I think it's going to be a pitcher's battle in that Tallahassee regional.
Well, if anybody knows about this regional, it's going to be you. You covered Florida State and UCF all year long. So if anybody has any questions on this regional, Alex is the person to ask.
Sometimes, right? Sometimes. So let's stay kind of more towards this East Coast here. We're going to have Virginia out in Knoxville. So they're going to be playing at Tennessee. They've got Miami of Ohio and Dayton in that regional too for Tennessee. So Tennessee is obviously having a great year, but so is Miami of Ohio.
Yeah. They have, what, over 130 home runs on this season? Two players with over, Carly Spade, like 35, 36 home runs. Another player over 30 home runs.
I was going to say, they at least have like three over 20, which is crazy alone.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a good day to be a pitcher when Miami of Ohio is on your schedule. But, yeah, I mean, just props to Virginia making their first NCAA postseason in 14 years, second time ever in their program history. Joanna Harden, her process is coming to fruition. You know, it's a long process to turn things around. So I'm really excited for her. Great human, puts her heart and soul into that program. And so I'm excited to see them in the postseason.
Yeah, going to be a tough one to agree. Miami of Ohio, I mean, I feel like you hear Miami of Ohio in the sophomore world and you just think home runs, right? And rightfully so, they've got some really big bats, but that's going to be a fun one. I think what you're right, Britt, Virginia and Joanna Hart, obviously leading the way, has been able to do for that squad has been so fun to watch. A lot of great stuff in the circle. Eden Bigham has been phenomenal and lights out, complemented by several other arms as well. We know she doesn't do it alone, but just really turning the corner are the Cavaliers, and we love to see it. Love to see that kind of success that they're having. So let's stay more East Coast bound right now. We have Clemson. Clemson is going to be playing in Tuscaloosa at Alabama. They also have South Carolina Upstate as well as Southeastern Louisiana in their regional. You know, it's never easy playing at Alabama's home field.
No, the Rhodes House is a very, very excitable, I guess, environment to play in. But Clemson McWhorter Field is the same way. You know, they have sold out crowds every game. They're loud. They're, you know, rambunctious, if you will, but they're cheering for Clemson. So going to the Rhodes House is going to be a little bit different. But this isn't their first time there in postseason. Went there a couple years ago when Clemson possibly should have been hosting but didn't, got sent to a high seed at Alabama. But, you know, Alabama, I think this is a region that I would be shocked that if Clemson doesn't win or make it to a very close championship game, because Alabama, you know, watch them. They have Kayla Beaver in the circle, and she's really good. And the transfer from UC Arkansas, she's really good. But their offense, I tell you what, it's not great. It's not what you would expect from an Alabama team. So I think Clemson should be feeling pretty good about their chances in this regional. And, you know, the environment's going to be – it's postseason, and that's how the environment's supposed to be. So it'll be fun. I'll be watching. I think, you know, if Clemson's offense – if they're playing like they played, like we saw them in Durham, they're coming out of there with a win. They're going to Supers, in my mind. Yeah. It was the best we've seen them play all year.
Agree. I'm excited to see that. Clemson is looking smooth and they're looking loose, which again, I feel like can be really dangerous in the best way possible.
And healthy.
And healthy.
And they have their lineup back, Mackenzie Clark back at the top, people in the positions they needed to be in. I think it's finally coming together for Rittman and his club at the right time.
Yeah, I completely agree. So, last one here, West Coast. I say East Coast, Best Coast, but West Coast here. Virginia Tech is playing out in Los Angeles at UCLA. They also have San Diego State and Grand Canyon in that regional. And this is a UCLA regional where UCLA last year as the host team got upset on that Saturday night. What is it, a regional semifinal or whatever that was at that point, or loser's bracket, right? I think they might have been 2-2. Ooh, that's what it was. They were 0-2.
Call it 2-2 or something like that. Number 2 overall seed, too. And
crazy.
San Diego State and Grand Canyon were also there for that.
Exactly, right. Yeah, because Grand Canyon was who actually, I think, sent UCLA home in that second loss. And then San Diego State ended up winning the regional that weekend. Yeah. It was crazy. I have chills just thinking about it and talking about it.
The first one from them, and then San Diego State went on to win it, then went to Utah. And Utah ended up beating them to go to the World Series. But, yeah, but Virginia Tech, they're no stranger again. Like, Clemson's been to Alabama in the postseason. Virginia Tech, a couple years ago when Keely Rochard was in the circle. Yeah. And Malimley, I think, was a freshman that year.
Yeah, I think you're right. She was, yeah.
But it was the Keely Rochard show. And she went out there and, I mean, played some good ball. I think this could be a revenge kind of regional for them. The ball flies really well there, and that bodes well for Virginia Tech. And Taylor Tindall.
I was going to... Yeah.
She, the ace for UCLA has been out for a while, and I saw her in the Pac-12 tournament, and she came in relief in a night game, and she had these sunglasses on.
The purple.
Yeah,
blue. Right, or blue. Yeah.
I haven't heard what's going on, but those were new, and she's pitching at night. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate what's going on, just telling you what I saw. So if their ace isn't 100%, Virginia Tech, they can swing it.
That's interesting. I saw that too, and I was like, what is that? Is that normal? But Makes sense. And yeah, I was going to make a joke of how, you know, I often feel like the North Carolina schools, UNC and NC State in particular, are some of the shortest porches that I've ever played on. But UCLA is the smallest field that I think I've ever played on. And selfishly, I'm hoping that that works in Virginia Tech's favor, knowing how well and how powerful they swing the bat. So
they kind of look better than they did in Durham, though.
That's a fact.
They weren't swinging the bat well at all. But they did have a long break from their last series coming into there. Hopefully, you know, maybe that was a wake-up call and they come out there ready to go.
Fact. And so we got to see the Hope just swinging the bat, trying to get some good pitches put in play. Because also don't force and swing it. You got to do something well here and have some good situational opportunities. And I think that that's what we've seen them do so well all season long. So just if they could stick to that and kind of like that identity piece is so important at this time of the year, because when the pressure's on, anything goes and nobody is safe. It doesn't matter if you're the number four seed. It doesn't matter who you are coming into this tournament. If the only reason you got here is because maybe you had just enough significant wins, or maybe you clinched the conference title by accident. Who knows, right?
Yeah, it's those four seeds that have nothing to lose. Like, hey, we've clinched our tournament. We're happy to be here. So they're playing just like light. Like, I mean, some of
no pressure.
A lot of them, it's like their first postseason. Calling the games down here in Albany. I mean, Penn State, too. Their seniors have never been to a postseason. So, I mean, talk about playing all out. Yeah, it's mayhem, right? This is so much fun.
And mayhem, exactly.
The parity. I think this is like the most challenging overall NCAA postseason region to region. Still think Duke is probably one of the hardest, but every region, the four seeds are tough.
Agree. And yeah, I just feel like at this point in the year, anything goes and nobody's safe. So it's going to be an absolute dogfight, and my dogs agree. So right on cue, dogfight, woof, woof, right? Some free swaggy dogs out here. Yeah, girl, you know, Charlie is just protecting the house. Actually, it's my big Malinois Shepherd mix going all full protect mode, I guess. So just making sure Mama stays safe. I can't complain. But a couple of last things that have been lingering and just newly announced, because I feel like we've been on the edge of our seat, like waiting. Some Player of the Year finalists were named. Top 10 finalists for Player of the Year nationally were released today, and one of them is from Florida State, one of them is from Duke. So what do you got on the players of the year and the top 10 finalists?
Well, Claire Davidson was Player of the Year in the ACC. She's had an incredible season. I mean, a senior campaign you can only dream of. And then on the complete opposite end of that is the freshman, Jasonee Beauchamp. You can't get her out. She is so good, just stepped into the college role, and she carries herself like, no big deal, all right, whatever. The way she digs in the box and just, like, kind of stands there between pitches, like, I wouldn't want to pitch to her. But if Jasonee Beauchamp's in the top 10 of Player of the Year finalists and there's no other freshman in that list, she's got to be the National Freshman of the Year, right? Like, there's no question about it. I think Player of the Year is going to have some trouble, Reese Atwood from Texas. My goodness,
yeah.
The season she's having isn't fair to anybody. But, you know, Claire Davidson and Beauchamp being in the top 10 finalists just speaks volumes to the season they've had.
Yeah, and if you are a fan or a follower of the ACC, I feel like you watch these two players, and they're just two people that you know have done it the right way. And they've just continually carried themselves with poise, maturity, respect. And again, just doing it, when I say the right way, I mean just respectful of the game as well as their teammates and opponents. And it's easy to support somebody having success, especially when they seem like a really good person too. So really good stuff for Claire Davidson. The numbers that she's been putting up this year are so impressive. I think selfishly too, the thing that I love most is they're both hitters, right? Position players. Because we know how hard it is for position players to get that award, because a lot of the times pitchers win it, and it's just a pitcher's game right now in that aspect. But we're starting to see some things change, and obviously, like you said, Reese Atwood at Texas, I mean, she has been absolutely phenomenal. So really great stuff. You love to see that. And then Jasonee Beauchamp for Florida State just leading the way, only as a freshman too. I can't wait to see what she accomplishes throughout her career. So Any last thoughts on maybe the hardest ACC regional that we may see this weekend? Anything else that we haven't covered that you're just like, we got to talk about it real quick?
You know, I think that Clemson-Alabama game, that's going to be, it might be the most watched game of this first week in postseason regionals, because these teams, they've got history, even though Clemson is a very young team or hasn't been around very long. But there's definitely a rivalry that has been built between those two teams. There's going to be a lot of fire there. Mackenzie Clark, and she loves the fire, so she's going to get it started off good. But, you know, I think Duke, you know, it's not going to be flashy. It's not going to be anything, you know, firework worthy, but they're going to put their head down, go to work, take care of business. So, yeah, but I think the most exciting game for me is that Clemson-Alabama game.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think Duke is going to have the hardest regional, just team for team, tit for tat kind of a thing. But, yeah, Clemson-Alabama is going to be good. I'm also really excited to see Virginia Tech play in L.A., I'm really hopeful, I think is the word I'm going to use. Obviously super proud of Virginia, hoping and pulling for my Noles, of course, out in Tallahassee, but Clemson, Alabama, that's going to be a great one. And Duke, I'm really excited to see how they respond to some tough adversity last week with the selection show. So,
yeah, I liked Jayla Wright's interview with Holly afterwards, because she showed a lot more maturity than I would have today. you know, we're disappointed, but so what? Happy to be here. Let's go. We're going to take care of business. Hey, we don't get to be at home, but here we are. And Super Regionals, they match up with Missouri, who has Washington in their regionals. So
yes.
They could end up in Missouri or Washington coming to them. So there's still a chance they could play at home, because Washington's a good ball club. And I see Washington coming out of there, honestly.
Yeah, the parity in softball is crazy anymore, and we're just continuing to see the playing field even out. And I think the question remains is, can Oklahoma four-peat? I don't know. There's some really great teams and some great talent across the country.
Well, I can't wait to talk to you next week, recapping all the greatness we're about to see.
I sure hope so, sister. So, good luck this weekend. Brittany is calling the College Station Regional out there at Texas A&M. So really good stuff for Britt. Obviously, follow along.
We're being virtual, breaking down all the ACC stuff this weekend on All ACC.
Yeah, girl. So y'all can catch me on All ACC following everybody's games across the country. So probably it's going to feel like 1 a.m. going on and just talking softball. But hey, we can't complain. So really good stuff. And we will talk to you guys next week. So go ACC, go Florida State, go Duke, go Clemson, go Virginia Tech, and go Virginia. So we're pulling.
Give a free swaggy dog bark, Alex. Go.
Free swaggy dogs, baby.